Hello, this is Margarita Monet from Edge of Paradise, and you are listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast, where we delve deep into the albums and bands that shape metal. Please visit our website, The Metal Pit, which is www.themetalpit.org, where we have, you know, album reviews, interviews, live show reviews, and of course, all the podcasts are in there somewhere too. You can follow us on our social medias, Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TheMetalPit666. And if you have any comments or suggestions or whatever, email me info@TheMetalPit.org. I am your host, Blake, and my guest today is one of our writers, Georgina. How are you today?
I'm doing swell. Hi, Blake. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, now a couple weeks ago I did a Fastway album, but I don't really know if they're hair metal. I don't think so. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call them. So I'm thinking this is our first hair metal album that we've talked about, and we're going to talk about Motley Crue, and we're going to go back to their debut album. But first of all, I think most people probably know who Motley Crue is, even if you hate them. But American heavy metal band formed in Hollywood, California in 1981 by bassist Nikki Sixx, drummer Tommy Lee, guitarist Mick Mars, and Vince Neil. I guess he was the last one to join the band. And the band has sold over 100 million albums worldwide, but they probably have no money left because they're still playing today.
Yeah.
They achieved 7 platinum or multi-platinum albums, 9 top 10 albums on the Billboard chart, and let's see, Knock Their Feel Good in 1989 was the only album to reach number one. And, well, let's just ask you, what do you want to say about Motley Crue to start with? When did you first hear Motley Crue? This is their first, we're going to talk about Too Fast for Love, their first album, but when did you first hear Motley Crue?
This is the first time I heard Motley Crue, like this album. And I like overplayed this album. I think this was back in the schoolyard again. The schoolyard was the huddle for all great music to be, to be recommended and listened to, you know, after school in the schoolyard. Good times.
Well, I got into heavy metal in 1982, like with Iron Maiden and stuff. So mm-hmm. I probably heard Shout at the Devil first. It's hard to remember because Motley Crue's not one of my favorite bands or anything like that. So, but I'm kind of thinking because I already heard stuff like Venom and stuff and Slayer and whatever. But I got into hair metal a little bit, but it didn't last too long. I was only into hair metal for a couple of years. And then it's like, oh, I got to get it. So this album would have came out, we're talking about 1981 debut album, Too Fast for Love. If this album would have came out in 91, I probably wouldn't even have listened to it. I'd probably been like, oh, hair metal. I fucking hate hair metal. I don't want to hear this shit. And songs like Come On and Dance on It and fucking Starry Eyes. Give me a fucking break. But anyway, but since I did hear this back then, I liked it. And I still don't mind putting it on once in a while. The first two, that's the only albums I listened to by Motley Crue would be the first two, Shout at the Devil and this one. And maybe, you know, Kickstart My Heart's an okay song or whatever, but I just never got into anything else after that. And I just got away from it. But anyway, so we're going to talk about the debut album. Like I said, November, let's see, it was first released independently, I think, on their own label, Leather Records, spelt with a UR instead of ER.
Yeah.
And that was November in 81. And then they signed to Elektra Records, and I guess the following year. So I guess they kind of released in 1982 at that point. The re-release had some different track listing and different order, and it left out one of the songs, Stick to Your Guns. I think it's left off this one. And so we're going to talk about the Elektra one with 9 songs on it.
Okay.
Before we, do we, oh wait, I had something else. Where is
Oh,
it?
there's so much
Okay.
to talk about here, Blake.
Yeah,
Oh
well,
my God, if
I
you
don't know if
really
you
think
want to do
about
it before, during, or after.
I don't know. All I know is that this album, I mean, Motley Crue was young and they were out of their minds. There was absolutely no consideration regarding the future because the group members basically didn't give a you know what about anything in the future. And they had this like go for it all attitude, you know, and it set the stage for like this really cool writing style, as we're all gonna like, if you haven't listened to this album, you're definitely you're gonna experience that here. And I mean, they ruined Hollywood in the mid 80s with their basically with their middle finger and their like, you know, take no, you know what attitude. And it just kind of this album defines like this wild lifestyle of Motley Crue that they probably still have till today. It's all about the booze, right? The drugs, the cars, the gorgeous chicks, and the fact that there's no future. And it's all basically we're living for the moment right here, right now. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there because this is real.
Yeah, they were, I guess they were, I don't know who's the first hair metal band that existed, but of course they were influenced by like Aerosmith and Kiss and stuff like that.
Right,
And like
right.
the New York Dolls, if anybody even, I don't know, knows them, but you'll know them, I suppose.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, they're of course they were bad boys, and they still are, I guess, like you say. I'm surprised they're all still alive.
Yeah. Now I have a question for you. Do you happen to know who is that on the front cover? Like I explicitly remember this cover. Like this cover was just like I had to kind of turn my head a couple of times when I
No,
saw it.
I didn't see that.
No,
Who is it? Maybe I did see it. Who is it? I don't remember.
it was a Vince Neil stated in his Tattoo and Tequila book that it was his junk on the Too Fast for Love cover. He was the star. Yes.
Well, shouldn't it have been Tommy Lee's
Yeah,
junk?
that's a hey, God only knows this. I know you wouldn't notice that one, but but it was him.
Oh, I do know the cover was kind of from a Rolling Stones. It kind of looks the same as a Rolling
Yes.
Stones cover. Sticky Fingers, I think it was, I
Yes.
read, but
Yes.
that's old news. But anyway, but yeah, I didn't really know whose junk it was on the front or whatever.
There's so many cute little factoids. I'm like debating. I was like, should I tell them now or tell them later? I don't know.
And I know that the band is still currently going. They have a new song, so I'm assuming, I don't know if there's a new album coming or if it's just a couple of songs so they can go on another farewell tour a la Kiss.
Right.
I thought they already did a farewell tour, but I think they're doing another one. And it's all the same members except for Mick Mars isn't in the band anymore. Now it's John Five on guitar, as long as he's still with them, but I believe he is. And I don't know, for me, always the best band member of Motley Crue has always been the guitarist, even though I know Tommy Lee's good drummer, but I don't know, Nikki Sixx plays bass, but I don't think anybody's ever influenced by his bass playing
Hi,
that
by the way, you know what?
I
Speaking of Nikki Sixx, do you know what Nikki Sixx's real name is?
Oh, I heard that once, but I don't remember. No, what
It's
is it?
Frank Carlton Serafino Ferrana Jr.
Sounds like a New York mobster, except he's from Jersey.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And we can also bring up the fact that there was some controversy with some big controversy with Tommy Lee.
Oh, you're kidding. Controversy with this band? Oh
Well,
my
okay, I
God,
guess there's
no,
probably
you don't
lots of
say.
controversy over the
Oh,
years.
plenty. This could be a 2-hour podcast, easy.
But since I want to talk about a Canadian, I'm going to bring in Pamela Anderson, used to date Tommy Lee. And of course, they had the big sex tape scandal, which she didn't like. I watched a documentary on Pamela Anderson, Pamela Lee, whatever, Pamela Anderson. And they had that part about how this tape got out and she was mortified and hated everything and whatever. How many times have you watched the sex tape, Judy?
Once, how about you,
Once.
Blake? Once. How about you, Blake? And I kind of I chopped through bits and pieces of it. I was like,
Oh,
okay, I got
every
four.
other day? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't even know, like, how long was the sex tape? I mean, I've seen parts of it, but I don't know if I ever really seen the whole thing, or if it was, because I know there was stuff on a boat, right, or something.
Right. I mean,
And
they were young and they were really in love though. I never thought that those two would break up. They were like inseparable and they were like really the hottest couple going and they were so cute together. I was actually upset when when they got a divorce. I never thought that that would happen, but they did. And I believe they filed for, I think Pam filed for against Tommy the second time. I think she did it twice and it was irreconcilable differences just hours after he was charged with spousal and quote unquote child abuse. But they've got those two beautiful kids. But they were such a cute couple. They were so cute. She still looks great.
okay, yeah. Okay, so let's get to the songs, and then if anything else comes up, we can bring it up. And we start the album off with, wait, is there anything else I had to say? No, I already said everything else. Yes, we're ready. Okay, Livewire is the first song. Do you like Livewire?
What do you think I'm gonna say? I think Livewire is an absolute banger, and it's a great way to start an album from like this thunderous drum beat that like sets the tone for this whole entire album to Vince Neil's like he's gritty and these like really cool powerful vocals, and you got the guitar riffs that are awesome, and there's some suggestive lyrics in here showing us that Motley Crue's got this dangerous and adventurous side for sure, and this separates them from the rest of the hair metal bands, and it sets the mood for the rest of the album. Love this song.
Well, this is probably my favorite Motley Crue song ever,
Ever?
probably this one.
Wow, yeah,
I
this
think I
kicks.
like this one. And of course, this being their first album, it's not overproduced like the other albums were after, and they weren't just trying to sing songs for girls, even though some of these songs could be just for girls. But there wasn't as many ballads as they did later. There's still a couple slow ones on here. But it was more raw and a little heavier, maybe, than what we get later on and stuff like that. So that's probably why I like it better. And I could still go back and listen to it, even the kind of cheesy songs that we'll get to.
Yeah,
But
Motley
it's
Crue is a
okay,
lot of
like you
fun.
said, it's okay because I listened to it in 80, whatever, 3 or 2 or whatever it might have been. I listened to it. But anyway, but yeah, that's a great song. And it was a great way to start the album. And of course, we had. I don't know if Tommy Lee rented a cowbell specifically for this album, but we hear the cowbell near the end of the song. And then when you start the next song, Come On and Dance, we get some more cowbell. And I was always great at playing air cowbell when I would listen to this album. But anyway, what do you think of Come On and Dance?
Come On and Dance has got this incredible groove, and it's got this really cool, like bluesy kind of sound that blends really well with just a good amount of like distortion in there. And I hate to say it, I mean, I've heard a ton of people say that it's their weakest tune on this album, but personally speaking, I beg to differ. I dig it.
Yeah, I like the song too, and I obviously read some of the same things you read because I saw that too.
Did you?
I don't mind. Come on, I mean the lyrics or the song title is kind of lame for a metal
It
guy
is.
now. Come on and
It
dance,
is. Yeah.
I don't mind the song, and but I don't have. I guess I erased everything I had here for the song. All I know is I had cowbell, more cowbell, lots of cowbell.
All right.
So Tommy Lee is good at the cowbell. I know we didn't talk about, you have never seen them live, did you say, right?
No, but I mean,
Okay.
I've seen them a ton of times on like MTV
Yeah.
and on YouTube,
Because I
and
know they had elaborate thing, especially with Tommy Lee's
it
drums.
definitely is drum
Upside
set. Yep.
down and all this crap and stuff.
Yep.
So I don't know if he was really a great drummer or if he was just a great showman or
He
what. I
actually
don't know.
sings. He actually sings really well. He's actually a really talented musician. Like I've listened to his when he left Motley Crue. Like he's got some, he can really sing. When he did Methods of Mayhem, he can really sing. He's a
Yeah, I don't
talented
know if I ever
guy.
listened to that too much
Yeah, I didn't
for
think you would
myself,
listen
but
to
yeah. Cause
that.
like, yeah, once, yeah. Like, cause Shout, I mentioned, I don't, I kind of meant, did I mention? I don't know, but Shout of the Devil, like it had the pentagram on it. And so I was into stuff like Venom and Slayer. So I thought, oh, this might be good. And then it wasn't bad. Like Shout of the Devil, I liked that album. And then I went, probably went back and listened to this album. And this album, the lyric, there's no, well, I mean, they weren't saying about Satan anyway, really. It was just
Yeah, no, they're,
they were
yeah, they're,
catching on to the other stuff, thinking, oh, let's put some Satan stuff on our album. It'll help it sell. But I know
better
they had
change our
talked about,
image.
because I remember there was controversy about it, and Vince Neil says it says shout at the devil, not shout with the devil. So he didn't want to be called Satanist or whatever, for whatever reason, what the difference is back then. But you know, they were obviously using Shout of the Devil as a thing and using a pentagram on the album cover for Shout of the Devil. Obviously, they're trying to cash in on the devil stuff too. Though they deny it, but I'm sure they did. Okay, then we go, where we are? Republic Enemy number one. And this song, I guess, is about guys raising hell like Motley Crue. What do you think of Public Enemy number one?
Yeah, that's, you know what? You hit the nail right on the head. And that's exactly what it is. It's about a bunch of guys, you know, having fun, raising hell, like you said. And this is basically an anthem for these guys. You know what I mean? It was just seamless. And it after Come On and Dance, this is one of my favorite songs too. Love it.
And we get more cowbell on this song. I think he must have rented it for the album and he had to give it back after. So he wanted to make sure he used it and got the money's worth out of it.
That's a drum thing.
But probably, yeah, it's got, you know, your sing along lyrics. And yeah, you said it's like the anthem of Motley Crue and their like life story in one song. I don't know if they're Public Enemy number one. I guess they are to women's parents or women's dads and things like that, I suppose.
I wonder why.
Probably bars that they skipped out on their bills and crap like that. Anyway, then we go to another lame titled song, Merry Go Round. But I actually like the song. But just looking back now, I'm thinking Merry Go Round, what a cheesy name for a song. And even some of the way the song is, it's still, some of it's even cheesy. Merry go round and round. And of course, the chorus of the song is saying merry go round and round like 12 times in a row. You think they could have thought of something else to put in there for the chorus, but that's the chorus. And they do it two or three times. But anyway, it was their first album. They were young. So I guess, you know, their lyric song lyric writing wasn't the top of their thing. So how do you like Merry Go Round?
Well, it's about how it feels like to be drunk, right? That's what I got it, which was basically Motley Crue's MO.
Well, if you do it every day, yeah.
Well, that's what these guys are doing, no doubt about it. Bottle of Jack and cigarettes, and that's okay. You're rock star. You're living and breathing rock star material. I mean, it was enjoyable. I loved it. Even if it doesn't stand out like the other two, you know, the other few songs. And Mars's solo kind of took the song to a whole new level. Good stuff. Like,
Well, I think I mentioned this before, but Mick Mars, like, I think his guitar work is one of the best things about the album. I think he was the best musician at the time in the group. Like, Vince Neil was just, you know, it's his first album singing, obviously, for that I know of anyway. But, you know, I think Mick Mars kind of stands out as the best. And he was probably also the oldest, too, right? I think he was the oldest.
and the most quiet, like you didn't hear him. He was like a house mouse in the corner. It's like he was the
Yeah.
quietest one
He
in the
was
band.
just. He was sitting on a couch while everybody else was in orgies, probably.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He was outside.
Well, he might have joined in. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't watch those documentaries on Motley Crue. Okay, anyway. Then we wait, where are we? I'm just in Merry Go Round. Then we go to Take Me to the Top. And again, they do the same thing with the chorus. They just say, Take Me to the Top over and over again. Bugs the hell out of me. But anyway, I still don't mind the song. What do you think of Take Me to the Top?
You know what? Speaking of that was like one of the catchiest choruses ever. After I heard this album, I think it kind of resonated in my mind. I was like walking around and I kept on hearing the lyrics in the back of my head. Saying, I was like, oh my God. I was like, this thing is like, I've been brainwashed. I've been brainwashed. But it has some really great drumming in this song. Probably, I think, one of the best that Tommy Lee's done on the whole album. And then you've got like this epic guitar riff, and then that chorus just kind of gets you, and it's just pure gold. And I think the song stands out as cheesy as you might think it is.
Oh,
That's
what's
Motley Crue. You gotta
yeah.
love it.
What's the song about? I didn't pay attention, you know? Take me to the top.
Take me to the top.
Is
It's
that about
fine.
sex? Hey, never
Like, I mean, you could, yeah, well, you could, interpret it in many different ways, but I think it's just basically them trying to kind of make it big. Take me
Yes.
to the top.
Then we go to this song might this some guys would say this song is about you, Georgina.
Oh, is it?
Piece of
Well,
your action. Everybody's trying to get a piece of your
oh my God, heck no, send me an email, go away. Well, in
action.
this song,
Message
Piece
me
of
for
Your Action.
Georgina's
Oh
email.
my God. Yeah, message, that's right. Message Blake. Message Blake. This is, I mean, it makes your mind wander all over the place. Like you said, like what is Vince suggesting here? Piece of what action? What is he referring to? But I think we all kind of subliminally we know what he's kind of inferring to. And it's, I think this is one of the most heaviest songs on this album, to me at least. And it's like the epitome of 80s rock and roll at its finest. And it's absolutely magnificent.
Well, the opening, well, after some oh yeah stuff,
Yeah.
but
Yep.
he says, "I want you, I need you, I want you to be mine tonight. You need
Yeah.
me, tease me, whatever." So yeah, I think it's about sex.
Yeah, there's a lot of suggestive stuff here. He's not playing games.
But then he does say, "Use you up, throw you away," and there you go. That that's not very nice. Anyway. But yes, I agree. It is one of the heaviest songs on the album. It's probably the most, well, live with Livewire, it's probably the most metal songs on the album that, you know, like, because hair metal didn't, I don't think hair metal was even called hair metal yet when this album came out. I don't know. Like, and like, we're going to get to our kind of our top 10 hair metal albums. But we have a whole lot to talk about there too, because it's really hard to say who's hair metal and who isn't hair
Yeah, it was hard, I'll admit. I threw somebody in there. I'm not going to mention his name now, but you'll be like, is he really considered hair metal? I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, I know. So we'll debate that. But anyway, sorry, let's get back to this. Okay, now another lame song. I'm sorry, I dislike song titles by Motley Crue back in these days, or probably every album, probably. But this song is called Starry Eyes. And I guess this is a love song. Or for me, it maybe is. So it's the love song of the album, somebody says. I kind of think it's the lamest song on the album itself.
Ouch.
I don't think I like this one at all, do I? No. Yeah, you probably love it though. You're a girl.
Yeah, it's a love song. It's a love song. I mean, it still packs a punch, right? It's a bit mysterious and perverse. Then again, this is a Motley Crue album, right? So we don't expect anything less. And it's got this infectious hook, and then you've got this cool, addictive rhythm, and the guitar work again, it's a gem. And then you like throw in some ooze from Vince, and what do you got? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There you go. I
Yeah,
dug
the touching lyrics like she'll hold you like a man meant to be held. Oh, that is so sweet. was, yeah, I don't like, yeah, okay. You hear that? You don't hear that on Slayer.
No, you don't. You do not. And that's okay.
And okay, what is this? Is okay, yes, then we go to the title track, Too Fast for Love. And I was gonna say, this song's about you too, Georgina,
Oh my
probably.
God,
Oh
no.
yeah.
Well, my favorite first line of any song, living on a jet, making love to someone else's dream. Wow. Right? Why is that such a catchy line to me? I mean, the title of the song is also, it's a lot of fun. You got a little bit of punk edge in here also. Vince is screaming, and then we all scream with him. And you know what? The end result is you gotta love Motley Crue.
Yes, it is a punkish kind of a song. It's probably
Yes.
inspired by, New York Dolls and things like that that I mentioned
Oh,
before.
big time.
And Vince screams a lot on this one, and it's kind of a heavy one and a fast one too. And I don't really like, even though you said the first lyrics, but before the lyrics, of course, we had "Oh no, oh no, ooh no, ooh no," whatever. Fuck, I don't know what that means. And then we finish off the album, the original album, which is the one we're doing, well, not the original, I guess, but the release by Elektra. And it ends with another ballad called On With the Show, but not a love ballad, but a death ballad. Can we say that? Because I guess it's about the death of a friend. I'm not sure if this is a
Yes,
true story. Do you know this? You can go on.
yes, yes. No, I read that as well, that it was a death of a friend. I mean, it's a beautiful song, and it's a nice way to kind of end things and wind things down. It was a perfect end to a perfect original album with this ballad-like sound that again features some really beautiful guitar work and some of Neil's best vocals on the album. And as you mentioned, it's about the death of a friend. And there's also some really good hooks in there too, as well. Yeah.
Now, there was a in a, some documentary or some, I don't know what I was watching. Maybe it was a stupid show that was on Netflix. Who's I'm not sure if it was called Dirt or if it was a book, I don't know. But there were people playing Motley Crue characters and supposedly doing their biography. But there was a part where Vince Neil was in a car with somebody, and I think they were he was drinking and driving, and his friend got killed. That's not this one, is it? This friend. For this song, because I don't know when this happened. Because I thought they said something about they wrote a song about it. I thought it could have been a guy from Hanoi Rocks, possibly, or but I don't remember the names and I didn't look all that stuff up, but I didn't know if that was what this song was about or not. But anyway, yeah, I did. I'm not a, as I've said many times, I'm not a big ballad guy, but I'd rather listen to Merry-Go-Round than this one. But anyway, it's a good, like I said, it's a good album. For like I say, all these, maybe not all, well, we're gonna get to these lists, but most of this hair metal stuff, like I said, I stopped listening to it, but now it's whatever 30, 40 years later.
Right.
Go back and still listen to some the first two Motley Crue albums and the other ones we're gonna talk about. And I don't mind it, but if like I say, if it would have came out in like 1991, I never would have listened to any of this hair metal, probably. I probably just would have said, no, I like thrash metal. That was my thing, it was mostly thrash metal, whatever. That's what I liked. And so it's like, oh, I can't listen to hair metal anymore. That's bad. It's embarrassing or whatever. But I can look back now since I'm old and still appreciate some of these albums and that album. And I would give Too Fast for Love 9 out of 10. What would you give it?
I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I'm right behind you on that.
Okay, and neither one of us has seen them live. We said I don't think I ever had any interest in seeing them live. Because when I did listen to them, first two albums, I didn't haven't started going to con I didn't start going to concerts till 84. So it was probably I do remember seeing, which we're gonna talk about some other, like I saw David Lee Roth and Cinderella, Poison or whatever. But I would say that's probably the only two. Well, I saw Skid Row once open for Aerosmith, the Metallica thing. I think Warrant was on that too, another hair metal band. But mostly those are probably the only hair metal concerts I ever attended. But anyway, so we're gonna do our top 10 hair metal albums. And now, like I mentioned briefly, it's hard. Like, I looked at two pages. I think Loudwire had a list of top 30 hair metal albums and Ultimate Classic Rock website, I think it was. And I
Right.
told you, well, we'll kind of go by this list, even though I don't agree with some of the groups on the list.
Right.
I'm still using some of the ones that they said, but some of them I omitted, like Wasp. Like, they had Wasp on the list. I don't consider Wasp hair metal at all. I don't really, I don't know what the hell is hair metal. I don't, but I don't know. Like, they had one Whitesnake album on one of the lists.
Right.
I don't have them on my list. And but I did include some David Lee Roth. I don't know if I would even consider him hair metal. But like, because Van Halen, I don't, they weren't hair metal, were they? I don't think so, but whatever. But anyway, who wants to go first? I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah, you go first.
So again, I mean, we were using a couple because there's no Canadian, the two lists that we saw, there was two top 30 lists. There was no Canadian bands listed, and I didn't put any down just because I wanted to go by these two things. So, because I didn't want to get into a big debate. So, if there's any debate whether these groups aren't hair metal, it's their fault. Loudwire and Classic Rock website. It's not my fault. Because I would add Helix in here from Canada, even though I kind of don't really like call them hair metal, but they would have fit in with it. And Kickaxe is another Canadian group. Headpins is another Canadian group that were heavier than most of these groups, but it's just that they were in Canada and they were before hair metal, so they weren't called
Right.
hair metal. But anyway, so I don't have any Canadian. I think all these bands are American because that's what hair metal was, right? Back then. So number 10, I got Def Leppard's Pyromania, which I liked at the time. I don't listen to it very much now, but I know I used to like it when that was out. Number 9, I have this album, Too Fast for Love, Motley Crue. Number 8, I have Twisted Sister with Stay Hungry. Now, this is another band. I wouldn't really call Twisted Sister hair metal either. Would you call them hair metal?
I
Like, I
can't
don't know.
say.
These seemed a little raunchier than hair metal to me
Yeah.
were. Like, they weren't like Poison or Warrant or Skid Row. I don't know. They just, but I have two Twisted Sister albums on my list. So just because they appeared in those other lists. So I got Stay Hungry at number 8. Number 7. Number 6 and 7, I have Cinderella. I have Long Cold Winter is number 7, and I
That's a
have
good one.
You Night Songs number 6. They're probably, if I had to say who's my favorite hair metal band, it probably would be Cinderella, but again, it would only be those first two albums. I didn't really listen to much after that. Even Long Cold Winter is kind of heavier bluesy than hair metal, but I know Night Songs was definitely hair metal. And I guess I can embarrass myself. I might have said this in one other episode, but I went to see Cinderella open for David Lee Roth, and I think I was inspired by Cinderella, so I went out and bought a spandex outfit. And I had spandex pants and a spandex shirt, and I had a big red plastic leather belt. And I think I had some black shoes, things, whatever. And everybody was staring at me and whatever. Not that I was the only one wearing it. That was the only time I ever wore that outfit. I still have the outfit somewhere. But yeah, so there was my embarrassing moment of going to a concert dressed like a spandex person with the hair metal. Okay, and number 5, I have Rat Out of the Cellar. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
I just didn't hear you. I wasn't sure there. Okay,
Yeah,
Rat Out of the
I'm here.
Cellar. Number 4, I have Extreme with, I guess it was
Ooh.
Extreme 2 Pornograffiti. Feedy. I like that
Dang.
album. I like guitar, Nuno Betancourt, sorry,
Yeah,
guitar
he's a
work
great
on that
guitarist.
one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like that one. Number 3, I got Motley Crue, Show of the Devil. Number 2, I got David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile, mostly, because I like David Lee Roth. And I like Steve Vai was on the guitar, of course, and he was amazing. And so I went and saw David Lee Roth twice, once with Cinderella, like I said, and once with Poison.
Awesome.
Before them. And my number 1 hair metal album, even though, again, I don't consider them hair metal, is Twisted Sister with their album Under the Blade, which might be their first one or second one, I forget. But I'm saying that's my favorite. I don't know. I could all these 10, I could probably arrange them differently, like Cinderella, whatever. But since I'm not, a big hair metal person, I only listened to it for a few years. But anyway, I still don't mind listening to Twisted Sister. But again, I don't hear metal, but I guess they are. And some of those other groups, maybe I'll wait to see what you say. But like, Wasp, I don't think they're hair metal, like I
No,
said.
I didn't put them on my list. I didn't put
Like,
Wasp on my
they
list.
seem a little more heavier than Quiet Riot. I didn't really even think that they were hair metal. Dokken could have been on my list and stuff like that. And I guess Kiss could be on somebody's list, maybe yours. We'll see. Let's hear your list.
Okay. Number 10, here we go, is Slaughter. Stick It to You from 1990, I believe, can't 1990. Nine is Warrant. Cherry Pie, I went there. I went there. 1990, I went there. Number eight, I chose Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. Now they're like, is that a hair band? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, maybe. But I chose them as number eight. Number seven is Cinderella. Just like you, I chose Cinderella, Long Cold Winter, 1988. Number six, I am a huge Van Halen fan, and I love all of David Lee Roth's solo stuff. I love the pieces. Six is David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile. I think I wore this CD out to bits. Number five is Def Leppard, Pyromania. That came out in 1983. Four is Cinderella. I knew you would be happy about that. Night Songs. Number three, I chose Skid Row. Skid Row, 1989. Number two is this album, Too Fast for Love. And as we know, it's like 1981. And number one, I kept it in the MC world. I put Shout at the Devil as number one. Because when I did hear it, I was like, you know what? I was like, definitely. I was like, Motley Crue is where it's at. These guys are the front runners for me.
Yes. Well, I was close, I can say
By the way,
there.
do you remember when I interviewed Tommy Lee's sister like a mazillion years ago, Athena? She was so nice. Tommy's sister was so nice.
Oh,
So nice. And she got interviewed for the Pit. This was good, no, God, how many years ago now, Blake?
oh,
15,
really? Jeez, I can't.
16, 17, 18 years ago. You've been around that long, my friend.
Yes. We don't
Yeah,
have much, like, I don't like Motley Crue is still around, Skid Row is still around. I know our fellow writer Kay likes hair metal, and I want to get
Yes.
her on a podcast sometime, but she's just busy too.
Right.
Sebastian Bach has a new album coming out, so we're hoping to get her to review it if we can get a copy of a pre-ordered pre-copy of it. But yeah, I wouldn't listen to, well, I mean, I don't listen to much new music as it is. But if any of these groups come out with a new album, I probably wouldn't listen to it anyway. Like, even if Twisted Sister came back together or something. I mean, I did listen to Dee Snider at a couple solo albums. I listened to that, but it was more heavier than hair metal, that's for sure, I think. But yeah, like I say, my hair metal days was 2 or 3 years of listening to it, and then it was like, oh, I can't listen to this anymore. This ain't heavy metal. This is fucking for girls, this stuff, whatever.
It's fun. It's fun. By the way, did you get to read Tommy Lee's memoir? He wrote that book,
No,
Tommyland.
no.
Oh, you got to read this. Like his, you know what is talking basically. He's talking with his lower nether regions. But you know what? He shared a lot about his marriages and, going to prison and all these scandals, and of course, he chatted about his sex tape with the beautiful Pamela Anderson. But there were also some, very tender and emotional things that he shared about his relationship with his family, and some of the tragic things that happened both privately and publicly in his life. And hearing some of the things I, had seen on the news from his point of view was very interesting. And I felt that he came across very, genuine and honest. So if anyone hasn't read Tommyland, go, I mean, I definitely read it. And if you need like a good coffee book, Blake, pick it up. It's good stuff. I have a
Okay.
quiz. I have a quiz for you while you're there, and
Okay.
we were talking about it. Who do you think is the richest Motley Crue member?
The richest?
The richest out of all of them now.
Well, probably him,
Yeah,
because
it is. You're right. It's Tommy Lee. He's worth $70 million. I read that today. And
oh.
was like, yeah, mad money. Homeboy's got mad money.
Well, you should maybe give him a call,
Yeah,
maybe.
he's married. Oh,
Or is he
God.
married? Is
He's
he married?
gorgeous. Yeah, he's married. He got married again. He got married to some comedian girl. I forgot her name. But he seems very happy.
Oh,
He
that's
seems
good.
very happy. Yeah, he seems very happy.
Oh, I have the Pamela Anderson book, but I haven't read it. But I planned on reading it, but I've had it like 2 years now, I think, and I still haven't opened it. But I did watch a documentary, like I mentioned, on Pamela.
Right.
So there was some Motley Crue stuff and some Bret Michaels stuff or whatever, and of course, but yeah, but and didn't she make a sex tape with Bret Michaels too?
I'm not sure, but probably. I think that's how they get their name out. I think
Thought there
it's the
was
trend.
something got out there, but
Yeah,
so
maybe.
if you so people so we're recommending you people listen to this album Too Fast for Love, maybe Shout of the Devil, and you can listen to the other crappy ones if you want to. Or you can go get Tommy Lee's book, or you can
Yeah,
go
I mean,
get
there's a
Jimmy
lot of
Lee,
stuff.
or you can go get Pamela Anderson's book, or you can look up their sex tape, whatever you want to do.
There's a lot going on here with this band, no doubt about it. I mean, there's some like really interesting stories. Like if you go on, online, there are some like crazy radical moments that these guys have kind of partaken on, while they were touring and while they were recording. I
Was
mean,
speaking of the sex tape again, but wasn't that like the first celebrity sex tape, probably?
it probably was, and I think Kardashian followed, and maybe some other, over the
Yeah.
years.
Then
It
everybody
just,
was doing it to get famous, right?
yeah,
And so
yeah,
now nobody does it because, or people might do it, but it's like, who cares? Everybody does it. We got
yeah. They
everybody's
now
got
they just have
OnlyFans pages or whatever.
exactly.
But anyway, okay, we better stop talking about a sex tape. Especially talking about heavy metal. So
Yeah, but this is
anyway,
Motley Crue.
so this.
It's kind of hard not to because this is so it's such a big
Yeah, I don't even
thing
know
for
when did that
these.
even happen. I don't wait, like that was probably in like the Dr. Feelgood
Yeah, that
era.
probably that time. Yeah, I mean,
Came
there's a
out.
really great song that kind of there's a great little story that's kind of connected to this album, to the Too Fast for Love album, and I read this. Where basically this is one interesting story where the members had sex for studio time, and Tommy Lee slept with a studio engineer to get some free time to record the band's first songs. And after Crew ran out of money mid-session while recording like this three-song demo, rather than cough up more money or come back at another time, Tommy hooked up with the female engineer recording the band, and later they'd record the Too Fast for Love album like completely drunk in just 3 days. I read that. I was like, oh my God. Yep. And there's more. I mean, when you're young and crazy, life goes on. And this album rules. I mean, Knock It Back, really. There's a ton of more stories that are online that anyone can kind of query. If you type in like crazy Motley Crue moments, like a slew of things will pop up for entertainment. And these are real stories. Should I tell you another one? There's so
Possibly.
many.
We have time for one more.
Okay, I think a lot of people have heard this one. It was basically the hygiene. Like there was a wager Tommy Lee and Nikki, they once had a bet to see who could go the longest without showering and still basically hook up with gorgeous groupies, right? So after a few weeks of leather pants and sweating on stage, and even the most ardent of groupies couldn't be blamed after getting to waist level with like sticks and becoming overcome with like nausea and vomiting and a spaghetti up all over his junk, and one hopes that it helped mask the smell. But that's one story. There's so many other ones. Oh my God, it's really, really hilarious.
Okay, well, we probably should end it on that story, I think.
Yeah, there's so many more notorious ones that are probably that are actually much worse.
It's not rock and roll, heavy metal or whatever. It's not like that anymore, really, I don't think. I mean, people do drugs, of course, and get drunk, but it's not the same way it was back in California in the 80s and all this stuff was going on. Like, I don't even know if the groupies even still exist. I don't know. Even know, but anyway, so yeah, so okay, we're do you have anything else?
Groupies, there were groupies for the metal pit. What are you talking about?
Well, I guess the metal pit can have groupies, but I don't know if bands are.
Yeah.
Everything's changed, but anyway, okay,
Yes.
well, thanks, Georgina, for joining me.
My pleasure as always, Blake.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.